Good morning. Good to see you all here. And what a beautiful, beautiful day it is. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2 and verse 20. Nehemiah, chapter 2 and verse 20. Today I'm preaching on Let Us Build Together. And when you get to Nehemiah 2:20, if you can, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word, please. So I answered them and said to them, "The God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, we His servants will arise and build, but you have no portion, right, or memorial in Jerusalem." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you, dear God, for the reading of your word this morning. And we thank you, God, that your word is always powerful and life-changing. And Father, let us today, as a church, arise and build, not necessarily a building, but let us build your church. Let us grow in numbers, Heavenly Father. Put the desire within our hearts. God, we can't do this without you. And we ask you this morning, Father God, to take the lead of Boscadale Baptist Church and its growth, and let us all step forward and step up in faith and boldness and say, Father, here we are. Let's get this done together. And Lord, as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit. And we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now, I've got something that really struck me last week. And it's funny that it always comes up on September 11th. If you remember, on September 11th, when our nation was attacked by terrorists, what happened? People grew fearful. People panicked. A lot of chaos ensued. And what happened? People flooded churches. People who hadn't been in church for a long time, I mean, all across America, it took that event to get people to enter God's house. And God's commandment from the beginning of time that we read in Nehemiah was, we are to get together and we're to build a church. Now, this past week, though, one of my friends put out a Facebook post, and I read it. I'm not going to read it because I don't want to spend time doing that. But it really gets you to thinking, does it take a tragedy to move us toward God? It shouldn't. It shouldn't take a matter of terrorism or whatever it may be to motivate us to get to church. What should motivate us to get to church is our love and our admonition of the Lord. And I've said this a lot, and I'll always say it. I used to have people say, "Oh, I get tired of hearing that." Well, I'm sorry. You're just going to have to hear it. But when we give our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ, because He went all the way to give His life for you and I. He didn't want us to go to hell. He didn't want us to perish. So that's why Jesus left the comforts of heaven and became a man that knew no sin, but took the sin of the world upon himself and died literally of a broken heart, because he had to do a job that he didn't have to do. And today, in our society, right here in America, we've got people that don't even really want to step up to do the job that God has called us to do. We have found ourselves, I really believe, in a spiritual slump. And I believe that we are at a time where we should all be on our faces seeking God. I believe that our dedication should be to the Lord. Our dedication should be to Him and to building a church. Now, we don't have to build. I'm not talking about a building, but we have to build a church. Now, if the doors of Bosque Del Baptist Church are meant to stay open year after year, guess what has to happen? There's got to be people come in here. And I tell you, I invite people. I don't know why they come. I've had this talk with Effie before. We invite people at the yard sales, other events, even when we had funeral dinners. I invite people. Yeah, I'd love to come. And then Sunday comes around. And so instead of being discouraged, I think today we should stand up and say, Father, we need people within this church. And I've been saying this for quite a few weeks now. I would love to hear the footsteps of children and their laughter in the Sunday school rooms. I would love to see our Sunday school classrooms filled up with young adults, middle-aged adults, and senior adults. And I would love to hear the joy and the fellowship of the people coming together, drawing their hearts together in unity and saying, Father, we love You and we love each other and we want to do Your will. And people say, well, what is God's will for the church? To build the church. And we can't do it separately. We can't have our own desire and our own direction and expect to go the way that God wants us to. We have to come together and we have to be one heart. We have to be one mind and one spirit. And we've got to do it in love. And we have got to ask God, as I prayed this morning, to take the lead in this. You should never look at a pastor. You should never look at a Sunday school teacher to be the one to have all the answers and or a deacon or whatever to do everything and make miracles happen. It doesn't work that way. You have to turn your heart and life to the Lord and say, Father, You are the only one that can help us build this church. But you know what God's looking for? God is looking for people who have it within their heart to stand up and say, Father, I will do my part, whatever it might be, to help build Your church. Now, when there's things going on in the church, people always step up to help out and to work where they can. And that is wonderful. That is fantastic. But we cannot forget there are lost souls that are all around us. There are even people who are Christians that don't go to church because they've been hurt somewhere else and they feel like they don't belong anywhere. And it's up to us to go out and reach these people and touch their hearts with the love of the Lord and let them know that they're invited here, that we want them to be a part of our fellowship. And why should we be interested in building together? Because God is our leader. In Ezra chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, this is from King James Version. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and He hath charged me to build Him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all His people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. See, it took one person, it took Cyrus, to recognize God is the leader. And every single one of us as God's children, We've got to cast our eyes and hearts toward heaven, and we have to recognize God as the leader of the church. God is the one who prospers the church. God is the one who gives us sustainability. God is the one who gives us the strength to do every day what we couldn't do on our own power. We can never do things by ourselves. If we try to live this life without the Lord, we will fall flat on our faces. And I tell you what, there are a lot of churches right now that are doing just that. They are living by their own principles. They're living by their own means and their own methods, and they're not living for the Lord. And I told you about the church in Orlando, Florida. And that's a sad event, but it's happening in our churches. And churches are starting to fall away from the truth of the gospel. It's been watered down because man has provided his own way and watered down the Word of God and changed it. And it's being brought into the churches and people are starting to accept it. And it's time for us as Christians to make sure that we are having knee prints in the floors of our homes and our church buildings, having our knee prints in the floor because we are praying with a heart of seriousness and we're praying for these churches that are straying away. We're praying for people who've gone their own way and we're saying, Father, bring them back to you. When God's leading, everything can be done. Everything is possible. Church is not about us. When we come here, and I've said this, I look forward to fellowship with you every Sunday morning. I do. I get a lot of joy to shake hands and see smiles and talk, whatever we talk, and that's wonderful, and I love it. But you know who I come here for? First and foremost, I come here for God. I come here, this is my weekly feeling station. We get to sit here, we get to sing out of a hymn book. By the way, I was talking to somebody this past week that said, I went to a church, or been going to a church, and said, I'm already sick of it because it's like a rock and roll show. The praise team wearing shorts and short sleeve shirts and they're playing rock and roll sound and music and it doesn't even feel like church anymore. And I said, well, at our church, we sing out of a hymn book. And we sing out of the hymn book, have you ever noticed in the hymn book, there's always a scripture reference most of the time under every song? Because God had inspired somebody's heart. Somebody was living for the Lord and they wrote these hymnals, these songs of praise. And I love to sing to the Lord. I love to worship. And when I leave here, I leave different than when I came in. But when I come to church, I'm expecting from God. See, I can't draw what I need from anybody here at all. I can't do that. I can't draw anything because only God sent His Son to die for me. And only God can direct the path of my life. And only God can answer my prayers. That's why our eyes need to be focused on Him. But unity is of utmost importance. Ezra 3:1 says, and when the seventh month was come and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. When we come in the doors of this house right here, even when we're not together during the week, we should always join our hearts as one. We should pray for one another. And when there's something going on, we have a prayer chain. Let people know what's going on so we can all pray. And if there's a need where we can go and do something for somebody, let's pull our resources together and ask God to help us get the job done and reach out to those in need. Do you know what an impact it makes on somebody's life when we reach out in love to them? But if we do it as one body, one spirit, in the name of the Lord, we will be a mighty army that cannot be stopped and we cannot be slowed down. The devil may try to rise up against us, but it's up to us to keep ourselves read up, prayed up, worshiped up, and to witness and to live by the Lord's commandments. Worship must continue to be present. They joined together to worship. We should always look forward. And worship is not just singing. Did you know that worshiping God is praying to Him? Did you know that worshiping God is when you're out doing for others, when you're telling somebody about Jesus? It's all worship. But we cannot forget to thank Him. This morning I got up out of bed and I couldn't sleep, and I got up for a moment, walked around, and I went back to bed, and I laid there and I couldn't go to sleep. And I always remembered this. Well, if you can't go right to sleep, maybe you need to pray about something. I didn't know what I needed to pray about. So I just laid in bed and I just started saying, God, I can't live life without You. I desire You. I need You. I crave You more than anything else in my life. Yeah, people are great, but God, You're the greatest. I love God way above my wife. I love my wife, but I love God the greatest. And I'll give my life for Him first. I will do what I have to do for God because of all that He's done for me. But I laid in bed and said, Father, I desire You. I need You. I'm nothing without You, Lord. Fill me. And I just laid there and praised God. I didn't say it out loud. I didn't want to wake up Janine. But I just laid there and just praised and worshiped the Lord. And I went right back to sleep. And when I got up this morning, I felt so good. But I have to remind myself that if I don't worship, I don't feel as pumped up and energized as I should. I don't feel strengthened. But I know when I pray, when I sing, when I serve, when I obey, I know that the devil is not going to be able to touch me. He's going to try. He's going to tempt. But as long as I'm doing those things, the power and the Spirit of God will be upon me, and I cannot be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters. No, I shall not be moved. That should be our song every day. And we should tell the devil as a church, devil, you're not moving us today. You're not moving us out of our church. But you know what we're going to do, devil? We're going to bring them into the church. God's going to bring them in. He's got the power. He's got the ability. And He has all the resources. We should build the church because God deserves our very best. Did you hear that? God deserves our very best. He doesn't deserve second or third or fourth best. God deserves the ultimate best that we can give Him. And that means coming to church, gathering together with a grateful heart, thanking Him for Jesus. Thanking Him for what He's done for you in your life. I know things are not the best all the time, and Jesus never promised us a rosy garden life. He never promised that our days would always be filled with sunshine. Funny thing was, I was flipping through the radio stations the other day, and I never could stand that country song, but I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. I was like, turn the radio station. But God never promised us a rose garden and sunshine all the time. But you know what we can do even when we're not at our best? When things aren't going right, or when things, and a couple of us were talking about this morning, when things are on your mind, all we can do is go to God, say, Father, I release it to you. Your grace is sufficient for me. One way that we can give God our best is to recognize where our blessings come from. My blessings, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but my blessings don't come from people. My blessings come from the Father through the person He sent. And I thank God for the people. We should allow ourselves to be used. God will only get our very best if we refuse to be greedy. Refuse self-centeredness. Refuse greed. Choose love. Choose His way of doing things. Because when we give God our very best, He will multiply every blessing. And what we have to do, say, Father, you take this church house that's been here on this hillside, even though it sits in a different direction now. It's been on this hillside for, 06, yeah. 1906, and here it is, 2024. Have the doors ever been closed? Nope. Has there ever been a dry offering plate? Not that I know of. Has there ever been a bad worship service? Well, I don't know, you know. I hope not. But He's the one who gives the blessings. And He's blessed this church. He's blessed this building. The doors have been open. He's always provided for every need. But our eyes have to be on Him. When we do God's will, when we obey His commandments, and when we live for Him, you know what He's going to do? He will answer our prayers. But if we come to church on Sunday and act like a Christian, and then Monday through Saturday, we live like a heathen and we talk like a heathen, guess what's going to happen? And when we walk in sin, He's not going to answer our prayers and He's not going to bless us. That's the whole problem that we need to look at today. That's what Jim Cooper needs to look at on himself before he even thinks about anybody else around him. Am I in order? Am I doing what God wants? Am I living the right way? And I know I ain't perfect, but I know I strive. And then I could say, Father, if you're finding favor with me, who do I help? Who do I pray for? Each week, I pray for each and every one of you. I pray for this church to grow. I pray for God's blessings to be poured out upon this place. And I know He does it. But we have to walk in divine fellowship with the Lord. We can't come in here with an unforgiving heart and expect to leave blessed and joyful. It just doesn't happen that way. You know what? Sometimes I believe, I don't like call it having our toes stepped on. I think sometimes we need a steamroller to go across our entire feet. Really. Somebody used to ask me at church, did you wear your steel-toe boots today? Because boy, that preacher sure stepped on the toes. No, I don't want to wear steel-toe boots, because if my feet need rolled on, they need rolled on. And if I roll on my own feet, then I'm going to roll on my own feet. Because I need to make sure that my life is what God wants it to be. And lastly, we should build together because God deserves the praise. It's because of God's blessings that we are where we are, and it's because of God's blessings that we have grown. Now, here's one thing about growth. Growth has to start here first. Oh, you could have a church full of bodies, but guess what? If the heart is not growing, if the life is not in relationship and fellowship with the Lord, then having a house full of people ain't going to do you a bit of good. Back when I was 19, 20 years old, one of the first churches I got sent to, the associational director said, well, they're going to be closing down. I said, well, why? Well, you just ain't nobody going there. Used to be house full. Now it's down to 3 or 4 people, he says. Well, I showed up. Sunday school was be at 9:30. I showed up at 9:10. Wasn't nobody there. Sat in my car and waited. 9:30, wasn't nobody there. I thought, well, I'll wait a little longer. 9:45, one car pulled up. Little man and his wife got out. And they said, oh, are you the preacher? Yes, yes, I am. Well, we sure are sorry. Just had a little rough, you know, kind of late getting out of the house. It's all right. You don't have to apologize to me. And then not long after, one other car pulled up, and that was it. I thought, oh, my. Now, here I am. Now, understand this. I'm a young preacher. I hadn't been matured yet in all this ministry thing. And I was thinking, is this it? Golly. I see, my pea brain had always been taught that the more people, the better. And I found out I'd rather have fewer people with a heart for God than I would a room full of people that had no heart for God. That's what I'm talking about. And let me share this with you too. When we had church at morning, those three people sang louder and grander than anything I'd ever heard. And I was like, wow. And I preached there for a couple Sundays, and then they shut it down. And get this, that happens to be the church that Janine's family was raised in. And now the building's torn down and gone. There's no church sitting there anymore, and it's sad. Me and my running friends, you know, some years ago, we would all go out there and run those hills, practicing for the relay. So we'd go run those hills out there. And it really struck my heart hard to pull up in that lot and know I wasn't there for church because the doors were closed, because people had lost the desire to be there. Don't let that happen here. Don't ever let that happen here at Bosque Dell. I have met people out in the communities that told me in some way they'd once went here or their family did at one time, and they tell me of, oh, how good it used to be. Well, we don't need to be a church of how good it used to be. We need to be a church of how great it is now. How great is our God? That's what our song should be every Sunday, every day. How great is our God? Because of God's blessings, people have been saved and baptized. We need to see those curtains parted. And I would love to be in that baptistry with my waiters on, baptizing people one after another because of their love for the Lord, that they're saying, Lord, I lay my life down for you and I'm ready to live for you now. And in the end of it all, to God be the glory. Great things He hath done. Not great things that we hath done or have done. It's great things He has done. Sometimes we need to stand back and look at ourselves and say, Father, it ain't because of me. It's because of you. You're the one who did all this. This church is here because of God. Bosque Dell Baptist Church is sitting here because there were some people who gathered together many years ago and they said, Lord, we want to build the church. And they did it. And look at how it's grown. Look at all that's taken place here. And that does not have to be the end of it. So let's build together.